Hello and welcome to another episode of Lion City Rock, the only podcast about Singapore's pop music scene that you never knew you needed until now.
That's all you need.
Yeah, my name is Chris, and with me as usual is my co-host and partner in crime, Kevin Matthews. Say hello, Kevin.
Aloha.
You're coming out from Hawaii today, is it? Is that your secret location now?
If only, man. Hold on. If only.
So, what has been happening with you? The last time we were podding, lah.
I guess it's, you know, doing the same old things. I'm quite free right now, so I'm trying to punish myself by watching as much TV and movies as possible. Like punishing myself with the three body problem, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you've watched the first four episodes. Oh, not bad. Quite interesting, huh? Then I've left. Right. Punish us for Game of Thrones and then punish us with this one again.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but those are the trials and dangers of being a pop culture geek, unfortunately.
See. Speaking of being a pop culture geek, I kind of met a pop culture geek.
An award-winning one.
An award-winning Sunny Liu graphic novelist. So he was having a garage sale. And I went over there to of course see if I could scoop up anything that he didn't want, which turns out that he has a lot of local music and stuff like that.
Demo cassettes.
So I scooped up that lot. I also scooped up a lot of his vinyl, which are all like 70s singer songwriter types. You know, like your Ricky Lee Jones, Joan Baez, James Taylor's, your Joni Mitchell's and all that. So he had all that. So I took it. You know, the other thing interesting that happened, I think, was the fact that I didn't know this, and I don't know, I doubt if you knew about this also, Kevin, that Singapore is actually the happiest country in Asia.
Yeah, but okay. then Ronnie Cheng just called us a bunch of Karens or something. Small island Karens. Small island Karens, okay. Complain, must go and complain. Complain about being called a Karen.
I think the people who did the survey obviously never survey the people in my feed, on my social media platforms.
It's the second time in a row, no? Last year, so it seems we were the...
Yeah, happiest country in Asia. Never mind. Speaking of being the happiest people, today is a very special episode because we got two very happy people joining us. You know why they're very happy or not?
Because they're not in Singapore.
Firstly, they're not in Singapore. Secondly, everything is coming out roses for them.
Kudong Cheng.
Yeah, I'll put that in post. I think these, they're like our most featured guest.
Third time, right?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think it's the third time on the Lion City Rock podcast, man. So please put your hands together and welcome Darius and Emily from Coming Up Roses. Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. Not bad.
I mean, busy is good.
You guys definitely have been very busy. I mean, apart from school. Right, you guys still find time to go and like do gigs everywhere. Still find time to go and put new music out, which is why I want to talk to you about, because you've got a new EP that's coming out, right? Can you share a little bit about that?
So we have a new EP coming out on the 5th of April. We've released two singles off the EP so far, so that's going to come out. We'll be playing shows in London. We're going to Paris. It's quite an exciting summer lined up.
So how many songs on the EP? How many songs?
Four songs. Yeah.
I mean, before we get into like the whole EP thing as well, you know, what has the transition been like for you guys? I mean, the last time we spoke to you, you know, you put out, oh my God, you see these corners.
Got it.
Is that a year ago? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I think it's just over a year ago.
Wow.
Okay. But I mean, a lot of things have happened to you guys since then as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw you last at the Alex Blake Charlie sessions, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, catch us up on what's been going on with you guys as a band, man.
I would say, like, for the past year, we have sort of started from scratch, because, you know, I mean, we're from Singapore, which is like very, very far away, right, from London. And so, like, I guess audience-wise, we had to build from ground up. Mm. And that's what we've been doing. We've been playing a lot of local, like, smaller gigs, but also, like, gigs that... Because the culture here is that you have to play a lot of shows to be credible.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
I think that in Singapore, whether or not you play in the underground scene or you play like your festivals, because we're so small and the music community is smaller, then everyone knows everyone anyways. Yep. Or at least we've heard of the bands or the other artists.
Yeah.
But I think here to build your reputation, you kind of have to play and start small. And also because I guess there's so many other artists. So due to the oversaturation of music and, you know, musicians, then it's about building that, just like building that runway. And then with each step, you kind of play a show that is more credible. And then, and then promoters will start like asking you to play for them and stuff like that. So it's already been just us getting used to the scene here, trying to be included in the community, which is a very big community. So we don't really know where we sit in the community as of yet.
Okay.
It's very big. It's like every other...
It's a Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's just so many... You can just like go to a random pub with a venue and there will be a gig there. Because it's just so much part of the culture to have music, live music. I think there are more original bands at pubs than cover bands.
Yep.
So it's quite the reverse from Singapore.
Yep.
So that's the challenge, but that's also what we've been building towards. And festivals as well. We've been building towards festivals.
Yeah. And also, like, in the time that since we last spoke, we also have 2 new band members.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I think when we play in Singapore, we're still playing with like Singapore team.
Yeah, the Singapore team.
Then since then, we recruited 2 local guys. So we sort of met them through school and stuff.
Oh.
They're Caleb, who plays drums, and Charlie, who plays guitar. So the past year has also been sort of getting them integrated into the band. You know, I mean, obviously the most straightforward thing is like they learn the songs. But also it's not just about that, it's about us
feeling like they're part of the band.
Yeah,
other than like
developing the relationship as well. We want them to be like, oh, you're just like playing the songs. No, we've always prioritized like
friendship
within the band.
Right.
It's so important. So it's just us like
hanging out, doing stuff that we don't want to do, but also doing stuff that we really want to do together.
Yeah. Like we went to play go-karts and
Airsoft
and like all these nonsense things, but it helps to like build the friendships lah. So
like example, when we were doing airsoft, right, I literally told Caleb, I said, shoot me, because he needed to shoot me to revive me, right?
Oh, right. Yeah,
but he can also tap me to revive me. I think he didn't hear me or what, so his choice was to run across the field and to save me, you know. I was like, wow. And then Charlie, right, instead of shooting me, right, he will come up to me, then he'll tap me so that he wouldn't hurt me with the gun. I'm just like, I mean...
You guys are too nice.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I also appreciate that you love us so much and that you don't want to hurt us. So we know that there is some form of bond developing.
That's quite a lot of stuff in the last year. I think it's felt like a long time for us because... just so much stuff happening and having to adjust to the UK. So, because I think the last time we met, we've only been in the UK for a few months.
It was us integrating into life in the UK, but now it's like trying to integrate the band into the music community.
Mm. Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, so how easy was it? I mean, like, firstly, it's 2 new guys, like I said, you didn't want them to be just like sidemen or sessionists, right? Just playing the songs and stuff like that. So I'm assuming that the integration kind of, you know, because then you have to be the band again, right? Mm. And then say, oh, okay, well, now we're this. I mean, they have their own style of playing, right? I mean, was it easy then to just, you know, pull everything together for you guys? Like,
I won't say it's easy, but I think it's quite natural. Like, it's not something you can force. Like.
Okay.
So I think it just came with time. So I think maybe now we're at a point where we can say like, yeah, you know, we feel the band is like has its own, it's a different energy, but like
it's an energy of a band.
Yeah, there's the energy of a band. We feel together as one, and like, you know, and it comes out in the writing, because like we're always writing new songs, and even in the performance, I guess we got used to each other's style of performance.
Mm-hmm.
The way that, you know, Caleb plays the drums, or like, you know, Emily learned to avoid hitting people with the bass.
No, I still haven't.
No, not really.
So last time it was Lorenzo, yeah. Now Charlie's my target.
New target.
Yeah, new target.
As long as it's not me, it's fine.
Because I'm always standing with the bass,
right,
to hit stop, pointing towards my left, right? So on my left will kena one. So there is...
That's why I see on the other side.
Yeah.
I'm standing there.
So now Charlie is the victim.
Yeah.
Let's talk about like the new EP and the songs and stuff. So the first single that you guys came up with was "Don't Let It Break Your Heart."
I think in a way, this EP is actually like a transition EP for us.
Okay.
Mm.
Because there's still contributions from like the Singapore side. So like quite a few, well actually most of the songs we wrote
before
we moved to the UK.
Mm. Oh.
But I think that the guys like Caleb and Charlie, they kind of added their own things without changing the overall song.
Yeah.
So they still tried to include what's them in the music. But I think in the core sound or the core melodies are already like fixed because we wrote it before they came.
Yeah.
So it's kind of to just let them understand the band's original sound a little bit more, and then from there they kind of shape it to something that is like coming up Roses 2.0 in a
okay.
sense.
Oh, true. I don't even know what number.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I guess we've still been writing, but with our newer writing process, we do include them more, mm-hmm. Rather than them like kind of, you know, jumping on board something that's already existing.
Right.
Yeah,
and in a way, it feels like we've gone back to the start also, because now we're back to like four members.
Oh right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a while. Operated there like without a drummer really. So,
yeah.
Like, now you know we have the full band and we write. I guess we write songs more similar in the way that we first started, where we jam in a room and
you can just jam out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe we can just go through like the four tracks on this EP.
Yeah.
So don't let it break your heart. What did you do, Darius?
No, it's not really a romance thing. Like, don't let it break your heart.
Technically, Darius wrote most of "Don't Let It Break Your
Heart."
Yeah,
No, Emily didn't do anything. It's more like you know, it's like a message to like a friend or a loved one. Like, you know, don't let it break your heart. Don't beat yourself up because
when you see someone that you really love, and then you see that they are so sad or they are like sort of wallowing into a hole by themselves, then you're like, oh no, how do I get them out, right? But at the same time, you don't really want to be, you want to just show your support, right?
Mm.
So I think, yeah.
Yeah.
We are all about relationships, but not just romantic relationships. Mm. Like, it can just be platonic or family relationships.
Mm.
And then you see someone sad and you're like, hey, I'm here for you. Don't let this thing break your heart, like this situation.
Mm.
Don't let it break you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think what's interesting about this track also is the fact that I think it was recently, was it last couple of weeks or something like that, it was featured in this UK program called 365 Radio.
Yeah.
So what they do is they have this program where they just chime in and give their thoughts, you know, give a few tips as to what they think about the tracks and all that kind of, like Jukebox Jury, but not as acerbic. Lah. So I mean, did you hear that episode? Did you hear what they said?
I heard it, yeah.
Me. I didn't know. Because Darren does some...
Sometimes I just...
He gets the emails, right? So sometimes it just goes by my head.
Yeah, I heard what they said. And I mean, for me, it's like, you know, you take everything with a pinch of salt, but also like, you know, we're not like, I for one, understood where they were coming from. And anyway, I think their feedback for all of the bands were quite constructive anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's really cool that there's even this platform to begin with, because, you know, Bas Linders, as we all know, he just randomly messaged me. He was like, "Hey, can you send me all the links and stuff? I'm gonna send it in for this show." Oh, okay, yeah, sure. So I just sent him the stuff, and then suddenly there's this thing happening. Yeah, but I thought it was really cool. But interestingly enough, they pointed out all the, they were like, "Oh, this sounds like." I remember they said like Snow Patrol. I've listened to Snow Patrol song in my life, so I have no idea about it.
Oh, okay.
Which song they're referring to. They said Cranberries, which is fair. Yeah, like, yes, we love the Cranberries.
Oh, okay.
Actually, like, the original inspiration for this song was more of like Cocteau Twins and Slow Dive.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it was just at a point like I was listening to lots of
the guitars.
Yeah,
the guitars,
it's like more of the guitar. So,
yeah.
It was just that sound, you know, like very chorus, full of chorus and lots of reverb. So like it just came from like listening to that. So yeah, that's like setting the record straight. It's not Snow Patrol. I never really.
But this kind of thing is subjective, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's based on your own, you know, the listening experience, right? Yes. But that's like the beauty of music as well. Like everyone hears something different.
That's true, that's true. Yeah, and then track two is Back the Way We Came. So how did that come about?
Okay, so this one is actually a very old song.
Oh, okay.
When we played it at Bay Beats in 2018.
Really? Wow.
Okay. We don't want to repeat it.
Yeah, and for the longest time, the name of the song was New Song. Yeah. Because we didn't have a name for it.
For anyone who has been following us for a long, long time, you would know that we always had this song called New Song because we didn't know what to name this song.
Yeah.
And we didn't want it to be just the title of like what you think it would be at the same time. I don't know. I don't know why we had that phase, but we just kept asking people, what shall we name the song? In the end, we still didn't know what to name the song. So we just came up with the most
obvious
way to name the song, which is like last line of the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah, like this is a really old song, and so you know we played it for some time at the early shows. Mm. Then as we wrote new songs, we stopped playing it. But then when we got together with Caleb and Charlie, then we were just like looking at all the stuff we've done.
Yeah.
And then we showed them like an old demo of this song, something, and they liked it. So we're like, okay, let's try it. So we rehearsed it. Then we like played it at some of the early shows in London, and people seemed to like sort of resonate with it, and they were like, oh, actually maybe it's worth like revisiting,
right?
So then recorded it.
But also I think there are some songs that when the band members, like not like our band members, just like in general, when band members come together, they just know the song. And then there are some songs like you take the longest time to try to figure out and write together and you just can't do it.
Yeah.
So Back the Way We Came was one of those songs where like when we played it, it just felt so natural. Like everyone was in sync. Everyone knew what it was supposed to sound like, what to do. Like we didn't have to give any kind of like a direction to Charlie or Caleb. You know, they just understood the song. So I think because of that, we were like, yeah, this is a song that we should share with the world, because I guess it's also now like it felt right to showcase our identity through that song because they understood it so well.
Mm. So how much has changed, if any, from what it used to sound like?
In the song?
The song.
I don't think it's not new. Yeah, Charlie added some stuff, but I mean, like, as a song, it is quite a straightforward. I would say it's quite straightforward indie rock that, sort of vibe. So,
you know,
like,
I don't know about the drums because it's been so long. I have no idea what Bruce used to play.
Yeah.
And I would think, like, none of the sessionists that were helping us out in that transition, they didn't even play this song. So it was only Bruce who ever played it. Mm. So,
oh, wow.
I don't even know if Caleb is, you know, playing what Bruce used to play, or he just played something that's of his own. But it just sounds right. So we just like, okay, let's go.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't really know what has changed, but I know that Charlie has written his own guitar line.
Right.
And I actually like really like that line.
Yeah. So, I mean, it reminds me very much of this band called Electronic from the 90s.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But that was a band. It's like a super group. You have Buddy Sumner and
Bernard Sumner.
And Johnny Marr.
Yeah.
Right. So it kind of has that. And that group was, it tended to be quite a happy sound, quite fresh and vibrant. So I had that sense of that vibe from this track, which I thought, hey, this sounds very fresh. So now you tell me that OSU has been around for a long time. It's quite interesting how that works out in the end.
Again, obviously the Johnny Marr influence is completely there. Like that one, especially the whole arpeggio.
I was gonna say.
I play a Jaguar as well, so he's a huge influence. But yeah, I mean that goes back to the point of hearing what you've listened to in other music.
Yes.
So I know of Electronic, but I haven't really listened to them a lot. But yeah, I mean it's cool. That's a cool band for sure.
It's more like a homage, more so than anything else, because we like it and we just want to, pay tribute to it or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to draw from somewhere.
That's true.
It's very rare nowadays that you come up with something completely, completely original.
That's true.
But I like it a lot. Actually, I like that song a lot. It's something that y'all can kind of push, right? Because it's catchy and it's very fresh and sounds very now kind of thing. So then, what about the other two songs? What are they?
Yeah, can you give a sneak peek about those two songs?
Yeah, we can.
Well, actually, the two songs that are coming up, well.
The tats.
If we actually played those songs at our launch show, the previous launch show, back in Singapore.
Mm.
So for anyone who has been there, it might sound familiar. One of the tracks we've only ever played it once, and that was at that launch show.
Okay.
We've never really played it elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, and it's something that's quite different because...
Very different.
Yeah, I think it's not... Like, when you think band, it's not really the type of song that you would think about.
Hmm.
But I do think that it's still important because a lot of the songs that we write is always about relationships to others or relationships to self. And that's, I think, part of our identity.
Hmm.
And if you're a person that always blames yourself, I guess one of the songs is about telling you not to blame yourself, or like at least showing that other people feel the same way.
Mm.
It's a bit cliche, but I mean, at the end of the day, when you listen to so many songs worldwide, the experiences that everyone has is similar. It may not be exactly the same because, context or people are different, the way we perceive things are different, but in the end, it's like, you still have similar experiences. So what can I do to not give so much of it away? Okay, I can give
Can I give the
name of the song?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
That's public information.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Claris prepares the I don't know what.
EPK.
That's all the external stuff. I don't know all the internal stuff. So I organize all the band stuff, but he does all the, arranging interviews with you guys and stuff like that.
Okay.
So one of the... Our title track? No, what's it called?
So the third track is called Silence.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one we actually recorded when we were in Toronto.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's like, right.
So we actually...
Okay, wow, that's some time ago, right?
Yeah, so we recorded it. So Leonard engineered it, Leonard Susie.
Yep.
We recorded it at this really lovely studio called Revolution Recording.
Mm.
And it's actually, I think, yeah, it's our first like acoustic song.
Oh.
Right.
Mm.
So it's very stripped back.
Right.
I think that lends itself to a different energy. Mm, like it's a lot more intimate, a lot more emotional in a way.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah. Cool. So that's the third track, Silence.
Okay.
And then the last track is called Why. And so actually these last two tracks are the most distinctive, I say. They're like kind of opposite ends of our spectrum.
Okay.
So the last song, Why, is like full on shoegaze song.
Okay.
Okay.
Like My Bloody Valentine.
Wow, shoegaze. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You just lie in bed and just...
Pedals.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I guess opposite ends of the spectrum because one only has one guitar.
Yeah, one only has one guitar, and then the other song has like,
okay.
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, that should be interesting. So different, kind of a different sound, right, for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's always been part of like our band's identity. It's like we always try to like, I don't know, explore different genres. And...
As in, I think if you listen close enough to the guitars, you can hear that they kind of sound the same. Or if you listen to and isolate like the melodies, you can kind of pick up on certain melodies where, yeah, they're quite reminiscent of each other.
Right.
But when you listen to the songs as a whole, I guess we just like to make things refreshing. Because if you have an album of 8 songs and they all sound the same, I get bored. I mean, I can listen to an album that's the same for like once or twice and that's it.
Okay.
But when you don't know what's coming next, you know, like the next song you play, happy. Oh, then the next song you play, stripped back. And then, oh no, it's full on rock and roll and stuff like that. Then, like, I think it makes it more interesting. I know that maybe not a lot of musicians like to explore things that way. Like, they usually have a theme within each album or each, you know, music cycle, and then maybe their albums differ in their sound. But I think if you look at even our first EP, we had things like Fall and Sky, which was like more, it sounded more uplifting, even if the lyrics are not uplifting at all. And then you have Waters, which is just like noise, guitar. And so that's always been part, I guess maybe in as we move forward and released more songs, there are some songs that we have tried to make sure that is more accessible. Because I know not everyone is like into like, you know, shoegaze, right?
Right.
So then we have songs like Back the Way We Came or Glass Stained Eyes, which are a bit more accessible to a person that doesn't listen to shoegaze, but still has like
elements
of, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, like vibey, if you like to say.
Yeah.
Indie pop.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but I think it's great because... I also get very bored if I listen to an album or whatever, or like 2 years down or 3 years down the road, and then the band, it still sounds like album number one, right? I'm like, So I'm always in awe of you, people like you who can, because like even like these corners are such a departure from Everything Is era, and that's not very far apart. So I was quite, that's why, I always find that very fascinating. Like people like you, people like even like Inch, who, you know, every time it comes, it's always something so different. You're like, okay, what's next? That kind of thing. Which kind of, I mean, to me, it keeps me interested in trying to go back again and see what else is new. Now. You know what I mean? So thank you very much for doing that, man. I have one question to ask. Your first two songs got very long titles, then your last two songs got very short titles.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
Oh, I mean...
Again.
For the longest time, we had only one word titles.
Yeah. So
that's true. This is an homage, throwback to that.
So how do you decide on...
On titles?
Yeah, how do you decide? How do you... When?
We don't decide
when,
the universe.
When do you... when do you kind of settle and say, yeah, it's called Why?
I think it depends on the song. So some of them, like, it's actually, I mean, to be honest, I think most of our songs have really obvious titles with a few exceptions. Mm. Like, so, I mean, we try not to, like, overcomplicate it. only new song, which ended up becoming Back the Way We Came. But again, it ended up being the most obvious title.
Well, it might be obvious to you, but it might not be obvious to another person because it's the last line.
It's in the lyrics.
Yeah, but it's the last line. Usually it's the first line of the chorus.
Yes,
no?
Oh, it's a chorus. But I mean, a song title also, you know, can also be a hook.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
a lot of people look at, you know, song titles as hooks.
Ask me for 3 wishes, I wouldn't know what to say. Ask me to envision a life that I want. Would you know the answers if I asked you the same? When
you guys are, you know, you're like, I don't know, 1,000 miles, 5,000 miles away, I don't know, to trying to, you know, do the band thing over there. Mm. You know, so I'm just wondering whether these things are actual considerations for you guys. Like, oh, we got to get something, or we got to have a title that these guys over there, say in the UK, in your case in UK or Europe, I mean, which is just next door. Is it a conscious thing that you guys go, okay, we have to do something that, you know, to try to get the audience on your side? You know what I mean?
We,
I think song title-wise, no.
Song title-wise, we just make sure we don't write any Chinese songs.
But that's also because they're not really a very Mendel pop or Mendel rock kind of band.
You know how many times people ask us, like, you should write a song in Chinese?
Yeah, you should write a song in Chinese.
I can't speak Chinese.
Oh, tell that.
Yeah, I can't speak Chinese. but yeah, in terms of like considerations of song titles, not really. I don't really know how or like culturally what differences we might have that so vast that naming a song would impact them to like our song or give our song a chance. So I think we never really considered it. Or maybe we just, yeah.
But I think in terms of sound, we do consider it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, we realized that like there's a very subliminal difference between indie, like English indie music that comes out of Asia and the indie music that comes out from the UK.
Okay.
Like, even though technically, you would say like, oh, a lot of the influences are probably from the same places, yeah, you know, like your 80s, 90s bands, indie UK bands. But even then, like, and because we were back recently as well, like when we listened to bands from Singapore, Indonesia, Taiwan, Japan, there's still a noticeable difference between bands coming out of Asia and bands coming out of the UK.
So, and the audience also.
Yeah, and the audience.
What the audience like.
Yeah. So in that way, I think we made a semi-conscious, subconscious decision to play certain songs.
So what do the UK, so what kind of, what is the UK audience, what are their preference then? What would you say then?
I would think like, maybe in the UK, things are more direct.
Mm.
Okay. And then maybe in Asia, there are more, what's that?
Not a lot of like flowers.
Not flowers. I mean, yeah, I get what you mean. Like the songwriting is a bit more intricate.
Yeah.
In terms of like details, or in terms of like, I wouldn't say really like, okay, maybe sound also there's a difference, but it's quite difficult to describe the difference in sound. But I mean, in terms of songwriting and arrangement of songs, I think in Asia there are more intricacies in like little. Actually, I cannot make general statements like that.
No, but I think the way to put it is like UK audiences generally like more sort of sing along stuff.
More in your face.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, more direct.
Yeah, which maybe comes from like the Britpop sort of hangover.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah, I think Asia
maybe like more introspective, more reflective.
A bit more introspective. They like very long instrumental sections. So even like that's like a conscious decision we made. We like writing a song, then we're like, do we really need to put like another guitar solo here? Okay, maybe not. Maybe we just do one guitar solo.
Do we need to have two repeats of the intro, which we still in the end included?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, like that. Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, we don't really want to just write and cater to UK audiences.
Sure.
Here.
Yeah.
Because
sure,
you know, our roots are in Singapore.
Mm.
And we have an audience back home. So like for us, it's also about...
You tread the line.
Yeah, we try to explore this new audience that we have locally in the UK. But at the same time, back home, like we still have, you know... And some of them are like, not just people that have heard us play when we were back home, but there are people that have not seen us play but have heard of us and have listened to our music even though we are now here.
Yeah.
So I think it's very touching to know that there's still people back home that care and love, you know, our music. And so then you don't want to show that, hey, now you're here, like, I'm going to boot up Singapore. Like, no, that's not how you, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we started from there. We are from there. And, like, we owe a lot of what we have up till now, you know, for us being Singaporean, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's just a thin line that we try to thread very carefully. Like, we still want to show that we do care.
Mm.
But at the same time, I think... in the end, whatever we release, if a person likes it, they like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, we don't have to think so hard about all these things, like whether or not it's for Singapore audience or the UK audience. I think in general, if a person likes our band's music, wherever they're from, they'll just like it anyways.
Mm.
And I think that's what matters the most.
Yeah. And also, I think I've secretly been like on a secret mission, right? Like, we want to introduce our, we want to get, like, influence from, like, UK side, but also we want to sort of, like, slowly...
Influence them.
Yeah, influence them, introduce some, like, music from Asia to the UK as well. Mm. So, like, we have this playlist on Spotify that, like, every month, we've been trying to, like, update it. So I'll put in, like, UK bands, like, new UK bands that I find out about, but also I will make sure that there's a lot of, like, Southeast Asian bands.
Regional.
Because like, as people in the UK, like, start following us, like, I also want to introduce, like, all the amazing music that we were listening to, that we discovered back home. To, like, the UK audience. Because I realised, like, you know, our Asian, the bands coming out from Singapore, from Asia, is actually, like, it's all the way up there, like.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're just so small and far away that people haven't heard of us, but they're good.
So I think, like, there's definitely a place for more Asian music to be in the UK. I mean, there's already a few bands, like Elephant Gym is playing in London, a few Taiwan bands. We saw Sunset Roller Coaster festival here as well.
Wow.
They were by far the best band.
Yes, I agree. Like, they were the best band.
Well, I guess, I mean, we don't want to take up too much of your time now. But, you know, the EP is going to drop. You mentioned that you're going to be doing some gigs to promote this thing. Where would they be? And
okay, the first one is in Paris. So that's on 9th of April.
Okay.
That's a really cool indie music club called Supersonic.
Oh, okay.
And they host like a lot of like bands coming over from the UK and stuff. And it's like, gigs, so like lots of people come down, they have like tribute nights and, you know, play like indie music.
Okay,
so it's a really cool place that we're really looking forward to that. And then after that, we've got another show on 13th April in London. That one's in London, and then we're doing a launch show for the EP on 1st of June. So that we'll do like a longer set and play longer some set. Special songs and Taylor Swift will appear.
Yeah, well, my good friend Taylor Swift to ask her to. I'm just joking.
I mean, that's also going to be in London.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you guys, if you're going to be in Paris on the 9th, pop in to Supersonic and check out Coming Up Roses, or as they say in French, Coming Up Les Roses. I don't know.
Don't try.
Like the last time I tried to speak in a local language, I failed miserably. So I don't even know if I really even try. I don't think so. You know, like, it's a big risk. Also, it's great entertainment for the audience if I screw it up. So I understand there's that maybe a win, not so win for me, but win for everyone else kind of situation.
Yeah.
Go to China and speak Mandarin. See they all laugh.
Oh, we tried in Taiwan. We spoke Mandarin.
Oh, Taiwan. Right. Huh? Okay.
Apparently, some things don't translate directly. So
no, cannot.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
So.
But this Paris thing is quite interesting because it's very 90s centric, right? Because it's Supersonic and first Oasis song. Then the name of the event is Vapor Trail.
Yeah.
Which is right, of course. Wow.
Yep.
I guess it gives you an idea of what they're interested in.
Yeah. So I mean, also when we realize like, oh, the event is called Vapor Trail, then surely we have to play more of like the shoegazy influence.
Right. Yes, I think so. That's a bit different.
Yeah, and London is on the 13th mm-hmm. and the 1st of June. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So go check them out. We'll drop links to their socials. You guys are on all the different socials, right?
Yes.
Yes, we're on TikTok now.
We are on TikTok now.
Yeah.
The EP is going to come out on the 5th of April.
Mm.
You can get it on, you can listen to it on all the platforms.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's going to be on Bandcamp as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So go check that out. Coming Up Roses is Coming Up Roses. I mean, again, your titling. There you go.
Mm.
They had the last one is Everything Is.
Ah, just forget the bottles part. That doesn't really make sense. But then, okay, wait, I just figured out when you put water on the plant, okay, never mind.
You need to water the
flower. You need to water the flower. Then after that, got the.
Then, everything is. Then,
right.
We're just making this up.
Yeah. But go check them out. Hopefully, are you guys gonna come to Singapore to do any gigs here?
We'll see. We're trying to plan some stuff.
If we do come, then it will be a pretty exciting time. But as of now, it's a question mark. We're crossing fingers.
Yeah.
We do have some plans that we hope can come to.
Fruition. Okay.
Whether it comes NDP, to fruition, we don't know.
So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah.
You find out on the next episode.
Will they or won't they?
Will they or won't
they? Yeah, but thanks so much, guys, for taking time out. The EP, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to see you guys again.
So again, Coming Up Roses, the EP by Coming Up Roses.
Yes.
Is coming up on the 5th of April. So go check it out when it's out. Thanks again, guys. If you guys like this episode, if you want to know more about what Lion City Rock is all about, go check us out. We're on all the streaming platforms. Tell all your friends about this. If you think your friends will like Coming Up Roses, ask them to listen to this episode to get to bone up on. Listen to all the Lion City Rock with Coming Up Roses to bone up on the new music and share this with them. And drop us a 5-star rating. Because I think for the ratings, that's the only one that we are allowed to give for Lion City Rock. It's only 5 stars. And give us a review. I think on Spotify and on Apple, you can actually drop reviews now. So yeah, let us know what you like. And let us know who you want us to talk to or what other kind of music you want us to review. We do
reviews
now as well. And we're planning something for the future as well.
Everybody's planning.
Yeah, everybody's got plans.
Everybody's got plans. Yes.
Yeah.
If not boring, if everything is the same all the time.
That's true. So we've got to go away and
next level up again. Next level achievement. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. So watch out for that one. We'll let you guys know what's going on soon enough. Until then, keep the Lion City rocking, man, and take care. Ta-ta.
Hurrah.
Bye.
See ya.